Okay, well, Acts Now Fellowship. That's the name of our ministry. And Acts Now Fellowship connotates a doing ministry, right? We want to be living the book of Acts today. That's kind of our motto, living the book of Acts today. Now, don't think like some person did when they asked me the name of the ministry, and I said, Acts Now, and he said, well, are you a bunch of woodcutters, you know, with axes, A-X? And no, that's not us. We're the book of Acts. So we're going to take a look at the wonderful book of Acts, and it really demonstrates the power of God that came off from the day of Pentecost when the new birth was first made available. And a lot of wonderful things are recorded in the book of Acts. And it is a book of people trusting God. As Barney taught last Monday, which was an awesome teaching, you can listen to that. You can go on our site or on Facebook. Well, no, I don't know if it's on Facebook. Is it on Facebook too?
No.
The Monday night teaching?
No.
Yeah, I think there might be a link there, but anyway, on our website, definitely. And, he shared about, as believers, we want to trust God, don't we? We trust God to do what he said he'll do. We heard that in the manifestations. He encourages us to walk out on his promises. But he also brought an interesting point up about God trusting us as believers to act on his word, which I thought was quite a perspective, isn't it? That God trusts us with his word, his promises, his gift of Holy Spirit to walk out on it, to operate it. You know, as a parent, you give your kids gifts, right? But you don't want to give them some expensive microscope that's $500 if they're only 5 or 6 years old. Because they're just going to mess it up, right? And I think about what God has allowed us to have spiritually, the value of the gift of Holy Spirit, and how valuable that is. And so he trusts that we will walk out on, that we will use the power of God in our life. So check that teaching out. It was really wonderful. Well, when it comes to the book of Acts, I think there's one section, at least for me, that capsulizes the heart of what God would have us to do and what he trusted what we will do. And it's in chapter 5. A lot of great things in the book of Acts all through this wonderful book, all the chapters, but this one section in chapter 5, I think, is a real pinnacle of the power of God being manifested and people believing and walking out on the wonderful promises of God. So we're going to take a look at chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 12, okay? Verse 12. In chapter 5 of the book of Acts. And it says, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. Now, what does it say? I mean, why does God say, and by the hands of the apostles? Why doesn't it just say the apostles did many signs and wonders?
Because they did it.
Yeah, because they did it. They did it. And that's the emphasis for God putting this word hands in here. God has a purpose for everything he says, where he says it, when he says it, to whom he says it. And it's fascinating, God's word is, as you consider those things. So by the hands of the apostles, they did it. They did these wonderful signs and wonders. And they were done with the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And boy, when you get people together as one, look out, especially on the things of God, where they can agree and believe together and move together, pray together, stand together, great things can happen. Verse 13, and of the rest, there's no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women. People were getting born again, saved, left and right. Insomuch, and this is how, with think about the multitudes and how much they got into it, this verse 15, insomuch that they brought forth sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. Just the shadow. That's where their believing was at. Isn't that amazing? That's phenomenal to me. And boy, oh boy, for these apostles who, you know, a couple years previous to this, they were fishermen or doing other things, and yet, lo and behold, they meet the man, the Lord Jesus Christ. They become his apostles. They learn. They get filled with Holy Spirit, and they're doing these great works. Phenomenal. Verse 16, there came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. How many?
Everyone.
All. Everyone. Oh, you know, depending on your translation. I'm using the King James. I guess you all figured that one out already. But they were healed, everyone. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and you would think they'd be filled with excitement and joy that, oh my goodness, all these people are getting healed and delivered and saved. But what are these high priests and the Sadducees, what were they filled with?
Indignation.
Indignation. They did not like what was going on. And laid their hands on the apostles, not to minister to them healing or anything. But what did they do? They put them in the common prison. But, a great teaching that Vicki did a few years ago, but God. And here this angel, but the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, and to me this is a great verse, a theme verse for me anyway, go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And this is what the angel did. And I don't know what they were thinking about when they were in jail. You know, what do you think about when you're in prison? You probably don't have too good of thoughts what's going on, and you got all these other people that are in prison going on. It's not a pretty situation. But this angel comes, opens the door, and they go out. Now, what are the guards doing with all this? What are all the people that are administrators that are around the prison and stuff? These guys are leaving out, and nothing happens to them. They leave, and they're gone. And the exhortation was to go stand and speak in the temple. The temple area is where a lot of the people would congregate. And they were to speak the words of this life. And so this is a great lesson in itself, this verse. You could teach a couple hours on this to go. You know, we have to get up and go, right? If we're going to really get something done, we've got to go. Then we take that stand, and then we speak the words of life. So, verse 21, and when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. So, did they do what the angel told them to do?
Yep.
They sure did. They sure did. They went early in the morning to get the job done. But the high priest came, and they were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. Now, I'm kind of scratching my head here. Wait a minute. These are the leaders of the church. Were they not up bright and early in the temple, taking care of business there? Yeah, I don't know. But they were had other things in mind, obviously. So they sent to the prison to have them brought. So when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, "The prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within." So somehow, the angel figured to work this out where these guys could leave and nobody knew about it. Because everybody was still there, the guards and everybody was just doing their job, no excitement. You know, if they noticed that these guys were gone, they would have made the report and all this stuff. But no, nobody really figured it out. Well, no one was there. Now, when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, "Hey, behold, the man which you put in prison, they're standing in the temple and teaching the people." And of course, that's what got them into trouble in the first place. But yet, they were doing what the angel told them to do: go, stand, and speak. And that's what they did. They went to the temple. That's where the people were. And they taught there. Then went the captain of the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, "Did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Wow. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey" who? God rather than men. Wow, what a lesson. We ought to obey God rather than men. "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be the prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Spirit, whom God hath given to them that obey him." When they heard that, they were cut to their heart and took counsel to what? To slay them. They wanted to get rid of them. Then stood up there one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. And he said unto them, "You men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Thaddeus, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone, for if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest happily you found even to fight against God." Isn't that neat? I mean, you and I, we in our times here, we take a stand. We go, we stand, we speak, and no matter what happens, you know, we're doing God's word, not man's word. We're following God's orders, not man's orders. Well, they agreed, verse 40, right? And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they had to get their licks in, They commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Remember, I shared not too long ago about the name of Jesus, how important that name is, and that's what they were fighting against. The adversary does not like the name of Jesus, because at the name of Jesus, every knee's got to bow. So that's why they're saying that. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily, verse 42, this is really neat. And daily in where? The temple, and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach who? Jesus Christ. Isn't that phenomenal? Daily they went to the temple. And as I said, in that culture and time, many people would go around the temple area. But they went what? House to house as well. And they had home fellowships just like we're doing. But they did not stop teaching and preaching Jesus Christ. So I just love that section in the book of Acts, how they took a stand, the adversary took a stand, got them thrown in jail, but God got them out, and they continued to do what God had called them to do. Okay? All right. That's what I wanted to share with you tonight, and some great lessons there for us to learn from, for sure.